Join your host, Alistair Rayner, as he shares information on the latest research on livestock production, tips on how to boost your profitability, advice on how to secure the health of your herd, interviews with industry leaders, and moments of inspiration. Alistair will take you from the paddock to the research lab and give you ways to improve your operation. From moments on the farm, education, some delicious recipes, and a bit of fun. We hope you enjoy.
G'day, I'm Alistair Rayner. Welcome to my podcast, Rayner Reckons. Looks like it's going to be a long, hot summer for much of Australia, particularly eastern Australia. Now, I know you're thinking it's always hot in summer in Australia. I guess that's true. But this year, the Bureau of Meteorology is forecasting an El Nino event, which will impact much of Australia. Part of that prediction is hotter than average temperatures and lower than average rainfall. So I reckon it's no surprise that this summer is predicted to be a dangerous time ahead for bushfires. In fact, in the last week, there have been some significant bushfires in Tasmania, Victoria and Queensland. A few people I know have told me of some damage to farm infrastructure and I've heard of other damage as well. So how prepared are you for a fire? Bushfires are an event that impact Australians every year and they become damaging or deadly incredibly quickly. How well you cope with a fire is dependent in a huge way on your plans. Don't assume that you don't need a plan. As a fireman in my own community, I've seen fires occur that were as small as a cigarette butt grow into grass fires that have destroyed hay sheds and stockyards. I've seen hay shed fires occur that have not only destroyed the hay shed, but the fire has spread into grass around the machinery sheds and into the neighbours. So please don't think you shouldn't be prepared. In this podcast, I want to share a few tips that you can do as part of your fire planning. These are tips that are useful in any plan and are very practical for you to start doing now. So first up, is your property clearly identified? Not just with a property name, but are the road markers and the property numbers easily visible? Faded lettering or having the numbers obscured by vegetation or some physical barrier defeats the whole point of property numbering. If the emergency services can't find you easily, then they can't help you. If you have a GPS, you could note the coordinates down for your house, your sheds, or even alternative routes into your property. If you need help, you can give the GPS coordinates to the emergency services as an alternative means of finding you. The really good fire plans include GPS for coordinates for water supplies that can be used for firefighting. Next, have you considered access into your property for emergency vehicles such as fire trucks? Last year, I was called to a fire that was threatening some stockyards, and there were horses running loose in the same paddock. We could get our truck through the gate as there was a tree that had branches preventing access and the gate was really narrow. We didn't have time to cut the tree down, so we had to cut a fence to get in and attack the fire. Cutting fences isn't ideal. As a firefighter, I don't want to make more problems by causing issues where stock can escape. But I also don't want to drive across areas that mightn't be suitable for the truck. No one wants to get bogged or stuck with a fire raging near them. So we prefer to use the driveway if we can. That means that you need to have a look at your gates and your driveways. Your gate should be at least 3.5 metres across and have a clearance of 4 metres from trees, branches or other overhanging structures. Any less and it becomes a challenge to get the truck through and this could be valuable time lost defending your home or your property. What are your preferred communication options? I know mobile service can be a bit patchy in many areas and while most people provide a mobile number if they needed to, what's your backup plan? Do you use a UHF channel around the farm that you could be contacted on? It's great for the emergency services to call you up and get information en route if they need to. So think about that as another option. I know there are plenty of properties that use UHF on their farms already. And those places often put the frequency they use on their property signs. So if you do have a property sign and you use the UHF channels, maybe it's a good idea to save a bit of time and put that frequency up on your farm sign. Remember, in a fire, clear communications and timely information will make all the difference. So UHF channels, as well as your mobile numbers, are great sources of communication. As part of your plan, you should consider who else might be on your farm if there was a fire. For instance, how many workers are there with you each day? Do you have elderly relatives or infirm or disabled family members that you might need to look after? What about your children or people who might be visiting? Can you explain to them what to do, where to go if a fire occurs? What are your plans to manage that situation? Once you've got that sorted, I'd like you to consider what things you might need in the event of a fire. Firstly, what will you wear to be safe? I don't want to see any more images of people in t-shirts, shorts and thongs fighting fires. It's dangerous, it's unnecessary, and it's stupid. The only appropriate things to wear are long sleeve shirts and long pants made of cotton or wool, fully enclosed leather shoes or boots, leather gloves, goggles and smoke masks. Now I'd be surprised if you didn't own these things already, but you can buy goggles and masks from the local hardware store and keep them in a kit in the house. Around your house, what would you use to defend your property or to extinguish embers after a fire passes? If you're relying on poly pipe, just remember it will melt if it's exposed to the fire. So can you put an alternative in place now? Can you bury that poly pipe, or do you have another option to transfer water from tanks across to where you might need it? Now while I'm talking about that, around the home, if you're using hoses, remember that your hose fittings, if they're plastic, are likely to melt. So I reckon you should think about changing across to brass hose fittings now. Brass doesn't melt, and when a fire passes, you want to be able to easily connect your hoses up and extinguish embers. Now, brass fittings aren't really that expensive, and you can pick them up from a local hardware store as well. In terms of your livestock, it can be a much bigger job to protect them from a bushfire. Your plan should look at options like safe refuges. Now, a safe refuge is a paddock or an area that might have been grazed really closely and doesn't have an awful lot of feed that could burn there. Can you easily muster stock into it? Does it have alternative access points to get stock out of when the fire's passed? What are your yard options? If you rely on timber yards, remember that timber is likely to burn. So I reckon that in the short term, you need to be identifying alternatives to handle your livestock. Or if you had to load them to send them somewhere else after a fire, what options do you have? The longer term, your plan might be to upgrade your yards to metal, so that you've got the infrastructure to stay in business after a fire. Another tip I've come across is for horse owners. It's not uncommon for horses to jump fences or to escape a fire through cut fences or other areas of access, and it can be hard to trace them back to their owners. This tip's pretty simple. Just write your phone number on a hoof with a permanent marker, and this can let the person finding your horse give you a call and tell you it's safe and where it is. While we're talking horses, take their rugs off and their bridles off as well. The buckles will burn a horse's skin as they heat up, while the rugs or the straps on the rug can melt and burn the horse. So these are just a few simple and practical tips that you can do now to prepare yourself for a fire. I reckon you should also visit the Rural Fire Service website and download their FarmWise Action Plan. It's a great template for a farm plan that can get you started preparing for a fire now. The RFS website is www.rfs.nsw.gov.au. Just remember, making a plan will put you in a much better position to respond if a fire threatens you. A fire doesn't give you any time to waste. You won't have time to think about options or alternatives if one occurs. So do your planning and preparing now. The time you take now will make your response more considered and make it safer for you and your family. If you haven't thought about a farm fire plan, get some advice. Talk to your local fire brigade or get in touch with me. Don't put this one off. Spend the time on planning and preparing. I hope you never have to use it, but if a fire happens, I want you to know that you've got a plan, and your plan will keep you safe and help the emergency services control it without loss to your farm. Now, if you do want to get in touch, you can send me a message through my website. It's all the W's at reynaag.com.au. You can send me a tweet at alreyna302. Or if you've got a really great bushfire tip that you'd like to share with a lot of people, you can always post it on the Reyna Ag Facebook page. While you're there, have a look at that picture of the numbers being written on a horse's hoof. You'll see it's a great tip and a really practical one. And that's what our page is for. So feel free to share a few ideas on the Reyna Ag Facebook page. Thanks for listening. Stay safe this summer, and I'll catch you next time.